All right, boys, good morning.
Good morning. Just to share with you, actually, a little bit. So just a little bit different this morning. I'm sure all of you guys are very well aware of the events that occurred in Washington, D.C. On Wednesday night. I don't know if Rabbi Grossberg spoke to you about it yesterday. I wasn't here, but an overwhelming tragedy happened to the Jewish people. And a lot of times when tragedies occur, especially over the last 2 years, there have been no shortage of tragedies for Klal Yisrael. But the tragedies that often unfold are 6,000 miles away. And as much as everything that happens in Eretz Yisrael is near and dear to our heart, but one can't compare a tragedy that occurs. You can't compare tragedies. There's a difference in the event when something occurs less than an hour's drive away. Some of you may have been even to the Jewish Museum, you know, over the course of your time in Baltimore. And two young people who devoted their lives working in the embassy, devoted their lives to the furtherment of the Jewish people, of the State of Israel, were just gunned down in cold blood. A killer who just yelled, "Free Palestine," murdered two young people. Two young people who were about to begin their lives together, two young people who were about to literally build a future together, murdered in cold blood on the streets of Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, less than an hour from here. Generally, as Jews, what do we do in the face of adversity and tragedy? What do we do?
Rise up.
I'm sorry?
Rise up?
Is that true? Do we rise up all the time? I'm sorry? I don't hear you.
Yeah.
We do. What do you mean by rise up? Try to push through. Beautiful. Yes, no.
Davin.
Good. Other thoughts? No other thoughts. Boys, I just want to point out, these are the kind of things that are supposed to shake you. Now, I know that as teenage boys, there are probably very few things in this world that shake you. And probably very few things that even get you to pay attention. Or maybe even very few things that in the grand scheme of things matter. But understand that there were Jews killed on the streets. Jews killed on the streets. That's a very big deal. I don't know. I don't remember. I take that back. Not the first time it's happened. So not the first time it's happened. But in recent years, we haven't seen something like this. So Shiloh is like, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? What is our response? So again, guys, rise up. Push through it. Absolutely. Like, the power of the Jewish people is the ability to go ahead and push through anything. And Chanuch said, daven. Because the truth is, at the end of the day, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, but all the more so in times of difficulty and tragedy. Any other insights or thoughts? What do we do with this? So I think one of the most important things, whenever something happens, like, let me ask you this. Anyone here ever make a tremendous mistake in life? Anyone here? Mamish. Oh, only a few of you. Incredible. Okay. I don't know. I'll put my hand up with that. What do you do in the aftermath of a big life mistake? What do you do? Or what should you do in the aftermath of a life mistake? I'm sorry?
Siri,
you went wrong. How did we get here? Because mistakes, you know, I'll tell you something interesting. This Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara talks about people who don't have a chilek in Olam Haba. Amongst those people, interestingly enough, a Mesachi Bekuvya, a gambler. Person who gambles, Gemara says, doesn't have a portion in the world to come. Don't start looking at each other, right? Person who, like, gambles doesn't have a portion in the world to come. And the Gemara says, okay, so how does he do tshuva? How does he do tshuva? And the Gemara says, how does he do tshuva? He smashes his dice. So Rabbi Soloveitchik asks, he said, I don't understand. Why does he have to smash the dice? What should be enough to do tshuva? What should be tshuva?
Stop gambling.
Stop Just stop gambling. Or, I don't know, put the dice on a high shelf. Don't touch that. Why do you have to smash the dice? So Rabbi Soloveitchik says something so beautiful. He says, because sin doesn't just like occur out of nowhere. The Rav says there's what's called chet and derech chotim. If you look, it's interesting, actually exercise. If you look at any avera, so generally when we commit an avera, we never just like punt sin. But there's often a build-up. There's a progression. I did this. I made this decision. I made this turn. I went this way. And suddenly, again, you string together all of those decisions, and that brings me often to a big life mistake. But it's interesting to note that all of the individual steps may not be so bad, right? All the individual steps may not even be such a big deal. But when you string together all of those small things, suddenly you come to a result. You come to a result. And it's true, by the way, and it's one of the most powerful things, like when we try to fix our mistakes. Sometimes I make a mistake, we think, okay, I'm sorry. That's a great start. Whether it's sorry to Hashem or sorry to another person. But the shaila is, how did I get here? How did all of this happen? And analyzing. So when an event like this occurs, when two promising young people, who again spent their young adult lives working on behalf of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, are gunned down on the streets of the nation's capital, we have to ask ourselves, how did we get here? When I say we, it's not me and you, but it's more like, how did the world get here? How did something like this happen? What do you think? How does something like this occur? Any thoughts? What's been happening on college campuses over the last 2 years? Anyone know? What's been happening?
Intifada revolutions.
Free Palestine. Jews literally, again, harassed, threatened, at times physically assaulted. Unchecked anti-Semitism. And it's not just in college campuses. Again, anti-Semitic events are up, I don't know, some crazy number in the United States, in major Jewish population centers like New York. Like record high numbers. When speech is left unchecked, you see, one of the most incredible rights we have in this country, the United States, is one of the most incredible rights we have, free speech, freedom of religion. These are big things. But sometimes when free speech is abused, it becomes one of the most destructive tools known to man. Kevin, if I were to ask you, what's a person's most powerful tool?
Tongue.
What? I'm sorry? Right? Tongue. Speech. Right? Remember again when the Pasuk says, Vayipach ba'apa of Ruach Chaim, Chash Baruch Hu breathed life into man, Unkelos says, what's life? Ruach memalala. Life is speech. That's how Unkelos understands. The life force of man is speech. There's nothing more powerful than speech. You guys have heard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. True or false?
Fundamentally false.
There is no bigger lie than that statement. Words harm all of the time. And when words are left unchecked, and words continue to be spewed, and good people don't stand up to stop them, then words turn into action. Action turns into violence. And two young people are now going to their grave. This is the lesson for us. Now you may say to yourself, so what am I supposed to do with that? Right, go and have a counter rally on college campuses? I'm not suggesting that. But what I am suggesting is, sometimes we see events unfold around us. You know, the Baal Shem Tov always said that whenever you see events, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to see and to experience things so you can learn from them. The power of words, the power of speech. What we have just witnessed is when speech is abused, misused, and used to deconstruct, demonize, and hurt, it could have the most catastrophic of consequences. And for us, there's a tremendous lesson to be learned as well. The power of speech that we have to be careful with. You know, guys, in school, outside of school, Baruch Hashem, we are friends, we joke around, we kid around. You know, there's a very fine line between a joke and harmful and hurtful words. And so often, again, just like in the day-to-day banter that happens, you know, amongst friends, there are words and there are statements that could deconstruct. There are words and statements that could wound, that could hurt. What we saw unfold on Wednesday night in Washington, D.C., is that when speech is abused for a long enough amount of time, it can have catastrophic consequences. And I think that one of the lessons, there are many lessons for us, including rising up, powering through, including davening, including figuring out what we could do to increase Rabbi Avdolecha Kamocha. But when we see the world around us misuse and abuse speech, it behooves us to be a bit more sensitive in how we use our own. Whether it's the word choices we make, trying to the best to our ability to avoid inappropriate speech, or being more careful just about how we interact with each other. You know, Chevra, anyone here ever been on the receiving end of a really hurtful comment or joke? And it ever happened to anyone here? Happened to me many times. How do you feel afterwards? Right? How do you feel afterwards? You feel like a zero. You feel like a nothing. You feel literally like the life has literally been sucked out of you. If you've experienced it, which I think inevitably at some point we all have, if you know what it feels like, then Allah has kama v'kama how careful we have to be not to visit that upon others. If we know the negative implications of misuse of speech because we felt it, how careful we have to be to one another. I don't know that this approach is going to solve the greater mega problems of the world. There's like a lot of cheshbon ha-nefesh. I've been thinking about this a lot. A lot of cheshbon ha-nefesh. You know what the term cheshbon ha-nefesh means? Anyone know what's the definition of cheshbon ha-nefesh? Excellent. Excellent. Like introspection. Like a lot of like self-evaluation, self-inventory in this country, which is so good to us. United States of America, we've never had a gullus like this that has given us so much opportunity and so much freedom. But this country has to do a lot of cheshbon ha-nefesh for how it could be that innocent Jews are gunned down in the nation's capital. There's a lot of cheshbon ha-nefesh. But we as Jews also have to do cheshbon ha-nefesh, even though we're the victims in this. We have to do cheshbon ha-nefesh also. That if we see the world around us misusing and abusing its speech, are we chas v'shalom doing the same? Or are we once again seizing our mandate to be a arla gaim, a light unto the nations? And where the nations abuse their power of speech to hurt, to deconstruct, to demolish, and to abuse, we use our divor, we use our speech to build each other up, to give confidence, to give optimism, to use our words to build, and never chas v'shalom to deconstruct. It's overwhelming times. Really overwhelming times. You know, I don't know how many of you boys follow the news like on a regular basis. I often think to myself that like sometimes something terrible happens and you say, okay, this was terrible, but I'm sure like this is the worst thing that we're going to experience. You guys remember last year Rabbi Leo D was here? I remember again when Rabbi D was here, he spoke so like amazingly about Emunah and Bitachon. And like I remember when his wife and his daughters were murdered, like he thought like this was the worst. This was the worst. And then there are hostages taken. That's the worst. And then Shiri, Kfir, your Bibas, the Bibas family, murdered in captivity. That's the worst. And then two beautiful young people murdered on the streets of Washington, D.C. That's the worst. And so you're right, we have to like steady ourselves. But it is so important that with every tragedy, we take something, we learn something, we become stronger, we become better. Because otherwise, it's just a sea of heartbreak. Otherwise, it's just a sea of loss. But if from every terrible event, we take something and we grow stronger, then not only is there meaning to the tragedy, but we use sometimes the worst events to become better people. So Shabbat Zohar Meretz Hashem, that we should not have to keep learning from tragedies. And we should not have to keep learning from loss. And we should not have to keep trying to learn the life lessons from every horrific event that occurs around us. We should be zochei me'eretz Hashem to learn from simchas, to learn from brachas, to learn from achdus. But as Eli said, our obligation is to power through. So as long as the tragedies keep happening, we will keep learning. And as long as the sadness keeps coming, we will keep growing. And if we do that, then in Meretz Hashem, we know full well that one day the tragedies will end, the sadness will end, the loss will end. And in Meretz Hashem, will be zocha to celebrate our simchas together for many years to come. I wish you guys a good Erev Shabbos and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. Have a good rest of the day.
I have a question.
I mean, let me ask.